Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. This morning on the program, I want to talk about how that Satan uses relationships. Satan uses relationships. We're going to talk in just a moment about some of the designs and the devices that the devil uses. There are several that he has at his disposal. But one, I believe, that maybe flies under the radar that we're not really thinking about is that the devil uses relationships against us. And we need to be mindful of that, and I want to talk about that this morning. What got me to thinking about this recently was I was doing a study of Adam and Eve, the first Bible couple. And of course, many people know about Adam and Eve and how they ate the forbidden fruit. And what is interesting about that is that the devil came and deceived Eve, tempted her, deceived her. Paul talks about how that she was beguiled, she was deceived. But maybe what we don't think about is that Adam also sinned, but the devil did not have any direct contact with Adam, just Eve. So why was it that Adam sinned? Well, he just simply took from his wife and ate of that fruit. And it's as if the devil got a two-for-one bargain. A two-for-the-price-of-one bargain. He used a relationship to get to Adam. When Paul writes about that event in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled." Adam was not beguiled. So why is it that he sinned? He listened to his wife. He followed the lead of his wife. There was a relationship that was involved there, and the devil got to Adam through that relationship. Satan uses relationships. Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled has fallen into transgression. And when you look back at the actual account in Genesis chapter 3, Moses, in recording this event and the book of writing all of Genesis and the law of Moses, chapter 3, verse 6, "She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Satan used Eve to get to Adam. I want to talk about how that Satan uses relationships, and I see it on a regular basis. And friends, if we're not careful, we may not realize what is going on. That the devil has gotten us to do things in our life, and we may not be able to trace it to why, but if you look into it, it could be the relationships around us. A spouse, children, parents, friends, classmates, co-workers, neighbors, relatives. Satan uses relationships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul writes about the devil. He says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." Some versions say designs. The devil has various methods that he can use to get you to sin. When Paul writes about the devil in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 with regard to putting on the whole armor of God, he says that it's important to do that, and then he says to be able to stand, in verse 11, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes and the methods and the designs that the devil uses, they are many in his arsenal. We're going to focus this morning on relationships. Let me just review briefly some things that the devil has in his arsenal, some of his designs. Number one, he uses lies, John 8:44. He's a liar and the father thereof. Number two, he blinds people to the truth of the gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. They do not see the truth. They can, but they do not see the truth because he's blinded them with all kinds of things: human tradition, human philosophy, human wisdom, worldliness. They're blinded to the truth. Number three, he masquerades as someone who's good but is not, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. He appears as an angel or messenger of light, but he's actually one of darkness, but he masquerades. Number four, he's able to perform false signs and wonders and miracles, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. He can get people to do things that look true and right, but are not. They're simply false. He tempts people through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He did that with Eve. He did it with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He was successful with Eve. He was unsuccessful with Jesus in Matthew 4. But he tempts. He removes the Word of God from people's hearts when the Word of God is placed there. He comes along and removes that and has that taken away. And again, we're going to talk this morning, one way that he can do that is to get relationships to take away the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, they've received the Word in time of temptation, they fall away, those that are on the rocky soil. And then those that were on the wayside soil, the verse before, they have heard, then comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart. You underscore that in your Bible, then cometh the devil, then comes the devil. That makes a great lesson just in itself, the different times in which the devil came to individuals, and it was never for their good. Eve, Job, Jesus, and others. Number seven, he oppresses people. Jesus healed all those that were oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. He's an oppressor. He's an enslaver. He can use government against people. The devil cast some into prison, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. He didn't personally do that. He got Roman authorities to throw Christians into prison when they would not bow down to the Roman emperor and engage in Roman idolatrous worship, emperor worship. Roman authorities threw them in prison, but John says it was the devil who was behind that. He can use civil government. The devil hinders the good that is being done. When Paul tried to go about doing good and travel and preach the gospel, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:17 that Satan hindered us. He throws up roadblocks. Of course, Paul kept going. He would work around those things. He didn't quit. But the devil hinders people. And then last of all, number 10, the devil is an accuser. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He said of Job, Job 1 verse 11, you take away everything he has, he'll curse you. Well, that's an accusation. John says in Revelation 12 and verse 10 that he's the accuser of our brethren. He's going to say things about us that are accusatory and not true, to impugn our motives and our actions. But whether it's these things or any other things that the devil can do, James says that we can resist him, James 4, 7, and we need to do that. But I want to talk this morning about Satan uses relationships. One of the most powerful weapons that Satan has, oddly enough, is human relationships. When we think of the things in the devil's arsenal, we think of sex, we think of alcohol, we think of money or gambling. We have things in our mind that we we would say, well, you know, the devil uses that, and he does. But have you ever thought about how that the devil uses people that are close to us? Yes, that's what he does. That's what he did with Eve. He got a 2-for-1 with Eve. And that's not the only example that we have in the Word of God. There's others that we can think about. One that comes to my mind is the wicked king Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 21, the record of him states in verse 25, "But there was none likened unto Ahab, who did sell himself to do that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." Whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. He had married a woman that was ungodly and idolatrous. And as a result of that, he was stirred up to do evil. Regarding him, back in 1 Kings 16, it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took a wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made the Asherah, and Ahab did yet more to provoke Jehovah, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He had married a woman, and a part of that was what stirred him up to do evil. Marriage relationships. I see this happen more than I would like, where a Christian will marry a non-Christian or someone who is not a faithful Christian, and it takes them away from the Lord, because on a daily basis, you want to please your spouse. That's the one you sleep with. That's the one you eat with. That's the one you ride in the car with. That's the one you have conversations with. That's the one you're in the house with all the time. And so you want to please them rather than God and the truth of God's word. And the Satan is just sitting back laughing. He got himself a Christian because that Christian married someone who took him or her away from the Lord. I see it happen more than I would like. Friends, I see it happen with regard to Christian parents. And their children grow up and they become teenagers and maybe they get in their 20s. And I've seen where parents will end up trying to please their children, leave the Lord in some way. Parents will suddenly change what they claim to believe and all of the things that they've done before in serving the Lord because they don't want to lose a relationship with a child. The child ends up leading the parents. The ungodly child ends up leading the parents. The ungodly spouse ends up leading the Christian in the wrong direction and the parents in the wrong direction. Instead of saying no to the spouse and rebuking them for their ungodly behavior, we don't want the ramifications of that. We don't want the cold shoulder. We don't want them sleeping in the other room. We don't want them to be not talking to us and eating in the other room. So people just keep quiet. They won't say what they need to say to their children. They won't say what they need to say to their spouse or their friends or their parents. Sometimes it's grown adult children who are trying to make their parents happy. And they end up leaving the Lord. Satan uses relationships. And we need, friends, to remember that very thing. Look at the husband and wife team of Ananias and Sapphira, who both lied in Acts chapter 5. Look at Ahab and Jezebel. Look at Adam and Eve. Marriage relationships are some of the biggest relationships that the devil can use to get people to do ungodly things. Stop and think about that. I want to look at a couple of Bible passages that we need to be very mindful of with regard to this topic. The first one, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus was sending his apostles out to preach the word of God on what we call the limited commission, to preach to the Jews. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There are other Bible passages that tell us that Jesus brings peace. When he was born, Luke chapter 1, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. He brings peace when he brings salvation from sin. But he didn't come to bring peace in this sense. He didn't come to say and do things that keep people in their peaceful and sinful relationships. He came to bring a sword. He came to bring the truth of God's word and tell people that truth. And a sword divides, it cuts. And that truth would cut and divide. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. Well, wait a minute. How can that be? Because some in the house will obey the truth and some will not. And when that happens, there's going to be division. There are some households where both spouses obey, and the parents and the children obey, and that's a great thing, and that's what we want. But in many households, there is division because some people want Jesus in that household and some people don't. And then he goes on to say, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You let that sink in. That's what's happening. We're loving these relationships more than the Lord. At the very moment that some people say they love the Lord, and I read my Bible, and I love the Lord, and I pray, but they're putting their spouse above the Lord, or their children, or their parents. And Jesus said, you are not worthy of me when you do that. That's a strong statement. Satan uses relationships. And he that does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. One of the passages there that I just read, one of the statements of Jesus, he's probably referencing Micah chapter 7, where Micah was talking about in his day in Israel, there were so many people that were living sinful lives that it was difficult to find anybody who was living right. And in Micah chapter 7 and verse 2, the godly man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Their hands are upon them that which is evil to do diligently. The prince asks, and the judge is ready for a reward, and the great man, he utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman, even thy visitation, is come. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a neighbor. Put not confidence in a friend. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lies in thy bosom, even a spouse. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are of the men of his own house. This is how bad it is. It's everywhere, and it's even close in our relationships, in our own house, in our own marriage, in our own family. Jesus references that in Matthew chapter 10. And it's these close family relationships that the devil is using to get people to sin and act in a wrong way. And all he's got to do is get one in that family, and then they negatively affect others. Let's look at another Bible passage that Jesus talks about with regard to following him, being a disciple and following him. We've got to put him first, even over family relationships. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. If any man cometh unto me and hates not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Look at that word cannot. You cannot be a disciple of Christ when you love these individuals more than Jesus. So you've got father and mother. You've got parents. I've known of Christians who will fall away from the Lord because they're trying to make their parents happy in some way. Maybe they're parents are not right with God religiously in some way. And then he says, wife. I see that happen a lot, where a Christian will marry someone and their wife or their husband will take them away from the Lord. And they just couldn't wait to get married. And I'm in love, and she's so beautiful, and he's so handsome, and the clock is ticking, and I've got to get married, and I want to have children, and all of that, which in and of itself is fine, but you get head over heels, so to speak, in love, and then that person takes you away from the Lord. And then he says, children. I've seen it where parents are trying to make their grown children happy in this or that, and so they will leave the Lord and leave the church in order to do that. Brethren and sisters, I've seen where siblings will leave the Lord because they're trying to make a brother or a sister happy, or they're listening to what a brother or sister is saying and it's false teaching. And then he says, even your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Satan uses relationships against us. Friends, we need to look at our heart and ask ourselves, who really is first in my life? Is it Jesus Christ, or is it these relationships? And we begin to rationalize. We begin to say, well, you know, I've got to listen to what they have to say. I have to consider what they have to say. I have to consider their feelings. And what we do is we go for the easy solution. And the easy solution is give up Christ for these relationships. Instead of saying no, instead of saying no to Eve, instead of saying no to Jezebel, instead of saying no to these things, we take the easy route, the easy solution. And then we begin to rationalize and say, well, it's not all that bad. Maybe they're not all that bad. Maybe their belief system is not all that bad. Maybe their religion is not all that bad. Maybe their lifestyle is not all that bad. Maybe what they're asking me to do is not all that bad. So then the rationalization slips in and takes over, and they end up leading us away from the Lord. As we close this morning, I want us to ask some sobering and searching questions. Questions on this matter. Who are those relationships? What relationships are we in? And who are these people that we're having relationships with? Take a hard look at that, friends. We can be right with God But we have to be careful about our relationship. So I want to close with just some questions. Number one, am I willing to follow Jesus without compromise? Am I willing to follow Jesus and His Word without compromise? Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke 6:46. Are we really putting the kingdom first? Matthew 6:33. Are we really loving God first and foremost in our life with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength? Matthew 22:37. Or is it the case that other people are first, and I love someone else more than the Lord, and I'm not going to do what Jesus says? Am I willing to follow Jesus without compromise? Number two, am I making excuses for my unfaithful and ungodly actions by blaming my relationships? Well, my wife made me. My husband made me. My parents, my children, my friends, my coworkers, my classmates, my neighbors. Am I making excuses for my actions by blaming relationships? And isn't that exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3? What did Adam say to God when God asked him, "Where are you, and have you eaten of this tree?" The man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Blaming the relationships. There you go. Instead of taking responsibility for your own actions. God does not accept those excuses and that blame. You can say no to relationships. And that's why we need to work hard to surround ourselves by relationships that are godly. Choose that person carefully when you're dating them and you want to marry them. Number three, am I becoming comfortable with those who I'm around? The psalmist says in Psalm 1:1 that I'm not supposed to walk or stand or sit in the seat of the scornful and the wicked. Do I get comfortable with these relationships where they take a priority over my life? I've got to be careful about that. I need to be willing to understand that bad company corrupts good morals, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. Remove myself from those things that are corrupting me. And then last of all, am I teachable? Am I willing to admit wrong and be teachable and make a change so that I can be right with God? Am I willing to take a hard look at my relationships, knowing that Satan may certainly be using them to keep me from God? Friend, if I can help you to have a right relationship with God as we are continuing to be toward the beginning of this year, this would be a great year for you to obey the gospel. If I can help you to do that, let me help you. Don't let Satan use your relationships against you. Thank you for being with us today on the program. And I hope that you'll have a good day, and I hope that you'll join us next Sunday morning.